Heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We thank you for all that you provide for us by your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your divine goodness. And we pray, Father, that the believers here might be encouraged by having a greater understanding of who you are and what you've done. Father, just help us to not focus upon our problems, not focus upon the nation's woes, not focus upon other things, Lord, that can discourage us, but that we might focus upon you and your goodness and your character and what you provide for us. And Father, help us to have an attitude of gratitude as we transition in tomorrow, Lord. May we be thankful, and as you said in your word, give thanks. And so help us to be thankful in all things. Sanctify the believers here through your truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this evening we want to talk about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. God's goodness includes what is pleasant, agreeable, and beneficial. What is pleasant, agreeable, and beneficial. God is concerned about the well-being of his creatures and does things to promote it. Think about God does what is best for his creatures, and that's part of God's goodness. Another writer put it this way, God is interested in doing what is morally good and right, But biblical writers capture that idea by referring to his righteousness and holiness. We'll look at that expression in a minute here about his moral goodness, but God does good things, and he is good. Let's begin with Exodus 34, verse 6. Here, God's character was revealed to Moses, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. We're not reading this in the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. See, some of you will think that the Old Testament, God is a God of wrath and anger and holiness. New Testament, God is a God of mercy and grace. God's revealing himself to Moses at Sinai here. And he indicates that he is a merciful and gracious God. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, he's also long-suffering. And notice, abounding in goodness and truth. Abounding in goodness and truth. God is good. Another passage on the goodness of God, Psalm 33, verse 5. Psalm 33, verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice. Another two characteristics of God, or we call them attributes, that describe God's nature. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 8. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. See how goodness and thanksgiving go together. Think about that tomorrow when we give thanks to God. We're thanking God for who he is and what he's provided. God is good. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. His goodness is manifested in how he provides for his own, but provides for those he created even. Now let's take a look at this verse. Notice it's repeated in verse 15. It's repeated four times in this song. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then we jump down to verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men. And then in verse 31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. I remember when we were in camp, this one evangelist said, for the person who can memorize the most verses, he'll give a prize. Well, try to find verses that are repeated. There's verses like this in the Bible, And all you have to do is memorize the reference. There's several like that. But this one's repeated over and over. And the emphasis here is that we would give thanks to God for His goodness and His wonderful works. Now, some people think that God is like a Santa Claus or a slot machine. Let's take the slot machine analogy, put a coin in, and out comes supposedly, you know, the payment. Or you ask him for something, and then you obligate him to give you something. And they only picture God's goodness in that sense of maybe even material blessings. Now, it does include material blessings. But God's goodness includes what is morally good and right. God wants His creatures, God wants the best for His creatures, but the best is living a righteous life, living a godly life. And we need to reflect His righteousness and holiness. Now, it's interesting that Romans chapter 2, verse 4 brings out this aspect of moral goodness. Romans 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the richness of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God does what? Leads you to repentance. See? God's goodness, meaning that He delays judgment. And by the way, this context is in Romans 1, talks about the wrath of God presently upon those who suppress the truth. But God's waiting for these individuals to turn to Him. He's waiting to be good to them. The goodness of God, and also currently the goodness of God in delaying judgment, is not a condoning of their unlawful acts, but it's given so that men would turn to Him. Notice also in James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. I think we get the idea, and people say, God's not good because He doesn't do this for me. He doesn't do X, Y, and Z. He doesn't give me everything I want. Well, thank God He doesn't give you everything you want, because that may not be what's best for you. And that's where we got get the idea of our definition we started out with. God's goodness includes what is pleasant, agreeable, and beneficial. There are certain things that God does not give us because we think it might be beneficial, but it's really not. Just like a parent and a child. You don't want to give a child everything they demand. They become selfish and they expect that. And, you know, you want to give things that are beneficial. You love to give things that are beneficial for your children. And so James indicates that we ask sometimes to consume things upon our own pleasures, our desires, and not really what God wants for us. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. And so we need to ask according to God's will. Sometimes God doesn't want to give us things because those things are selfish desires and really are not for our benefit. Notice verse 6, but what does God give? God gives more grace to those who are humble. This is not simply saving grace. He's talking about believers in the sense that God will give good things to those who are humble. To those who simply seek His will, God resists the proud, but He gives what? Grace. Grace to the humble. So we need to think of what is good and how God is good, giving us not necessarily what we want, but what we need, what is ultimately beneficial for us. Now, with each act of creation, God in the beginning said it was good. Notice when God created the world, He created it good. And this is before the fall and all the ugliness entered into the picture. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. After each day, verse 10, notice He says, and God saw that it was good. We see this phrase here, God saw that it was good. And after each day, we have that expression, notice in verse 12. Verse 12. God saw that it was good. And then we have that same expression in verse 18. God saw that it was good. And verse 21. God saw that it was good. Verse 25. God saw that it was good. And again, this is another one of those memory verses. Of course, you'd have to remember the first part of it. But God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. And then verse 31, notice that. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. Now notice how he very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And this is after he created man. It was very good. So with each act of creation, God saw that it was good. God intended good for his creation. And he also indicated, this is also indicated by the fact that God blessed the first couple. The word blessed is used in Genesis 1:22, Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. And God blessed them. Notice, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And verse 28, then God blessed them. God blessed them. And then Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day. So God blessed the couple, and he blessed the seventh day, and he saw that everything was good. Why do we see things that are not good? Because of the fall. Sin, ugliness, things that are not right, entered into the picture because of man's rebellion. It affected everything. It brought death. It brought a curse to the creation. And all the things that go along with that. We see that because not because of God. God originally created everything good. And until man rebelled, it was good. It was good. Man enjoyed the harmony of fellowship with God. He enjoyed God's blessings. Man had freedom. But all that went south after man rebelled against him. Now, think about God's goodness, as we have stated earlier, about producing godliness in us. Its intended purpose is that goal, I think. But God's goodness includes not only what we think is good, but what God considers best for us. Now, you remember Romans 8:28? We've dealt with that last week here. I know some of you weren't there to listen, but I'll go over this passage again, Romans 8:28. And it's a familiar memory verse, but I think we take it many times out of its context. And we know that all things work together for good. To those who do what? Love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. Now, all things are what? Well, he tells us later down in the context. He will freely give us his divine aid. The one who did not spare his own son. But he says here, by the way, in verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors who have loved us. What things? Well, we go back to verse 35. He indicates, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? You say, those are not good things. But yet God can work those things out for his purpose and plan. And what is that? God uses these things that we might not consider good for our spiritual growth. Think about that. For our spiritual maturity. He uses that for a good thing. Even what people intend against us for evil, God could give us those things for our benefit. Suffering in the plan of God can be good. Normally we don't look at that as a good thing given by God. We think that's a bad thing. Trials are bad. But we can overcome them through the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to be defeated, and we don't have to doubt, and we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret. We can be an overcomer. We are more than conquerors. Verse 37, we are hyper-conquerors. Because we know that God still loves us. We know that those things will not separate us, notice that, from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So if we are persecuted, does Christ still love us? Yes. Will he leave us? No. Will he abandon us? No. If we go through distressful times, does Christ still love us? Yes. What about even famine? Yes, he still loves us. What about warfare? Does he still love us? Yes. And so we can't judge the love or goodness of God because of these things. We can't say that, well, because I don't have $1 million and I don't have that, you know, God's not good. Not so. It's not true. We can overcome. God allows these, what we think are not good, to work together for good to those who love him. Notice Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. We have an example in the Old Testament of this. You remember the story of Joseph and how Joseph was persecuted, sold by his brothers into slavery. Imagine that, selling your own flesh and blood to slave traders. And they pretended like he was dead, or they acted like he was dead. They made up a lie to tell his father that he died. Imagine giving grief to his father. You know, his father thinks he's dead. How cruel is that? And all the things his brothers did. But you know what? God used Joseph. He went to Egypt. God spared Joseph. He was thrown into prison even. But you know what? God used that for good, because he eventually rose to power. And he was raised to power to save those very people that betrayed him. Those very people that sold him to slavery. God did so to save life. God allowed those things in Joseph's life to preserve his brothers, preserve his father, to preserve the nation of Israel. And you know what? After his father died, they thought that Joseph might take revenge. They were fearful. Now he's going to get back at us. But he had a divine perspective on those things we would consider bad. But as for you, you meant evil against me. That was their intention, but God meant it for good. Can't you imagine how God can use things that we view in our life as bad, and God can take it around and use it for his good? But we need to respond properly to those things. And Joseph did. Joseph still exercised faith and trust. And he did so, by the way. He said, God meant it for good. Here's the purpose. In order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kind to them. Could you do that to someone who betrayed you? So-called stabbed you in the back, your own family, your own flesh and blood? Can you do that? Joseph did, because he saw the big perspective. He saw that God is still good, and God can use even negative things for good in our life. God's goodness is expressed through his mercy. Think about various ways that express God's goodness. His mercy. Number two, his grace. Number three, his loving kindness. And number four, long suffering. We're going to look at those four things. God's goodness is expressed through his mercy. Psalm 136, verse 1. God is good because he's merciful. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Talking about repeated verses, notice this. His mercy endures forever. Let's hit the, notice I'm going to highlight the word mercy in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 26, 25 and 26 in every verse. You know, we got to repeat to ourselves, his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. God is merciful. God is merciful. And he gives examples of his mercy. Notice here, he gives food. He rescues us from our enemies. God provided for the nation of Israel. He defeated kings for them. All these things reflect his mercy. You know what mercy is? God doesn't give us what we deserve. Grace means undeserved favor, but mercy means God doesn't really give us what we do deserve. Aren't you glad? We all deserve hell, condemnation, punishment. But God, in his mercy, doesn't give us many times what we do deserve. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24, Lamentations 3, 24, another verse we quote, but we don't realize the context here. And the Bible is indicates the context here. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Notice verse 25. To the soul who seeks him. We need to wait on his goodness, don't we? Look at verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now we sing the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness. You know, and we don't realize that Jeremiah is writing this while he's watching his city being destroyed by the Babylonians. Realize that. The city's on fire. The Babylonians are attacking him. And yet he could say, it's through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. You know, if he could say that during that time of disaster, we could say that tomorrow morning, not just for Thanksgiving, but every morning. Father, you have new mercies for me. You don't give me what I deserve today. Thank you for that, Father. And so we need to trust him. We need to seek him. We need to wait for him. Grace is a second aspect of God's goodness. In Psalm 84:11, we could go on all night about the grace of God, certainly. But we're just one verse here to describe this. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Think about that. He wants to give us good things. He gives grace. He gives us undeserved favor. And we're thankful most of all for his saving grace through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he was raised from the dead the third day. And he gives eternal life for all who simply believe in him. Ephesians 2:8-9 says we are saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not going to heaven because we're good. Or because we maintain goodness. We're going to heaven because salvation's a gift. And it's given to us because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve heaven. But he gives it because of his grace to those who believe in him. Kindness. Kindness is another expression of God's goodness. Psalm 103, verse 4 and 5. Psalm 103, verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Think about that. He crowns you with loving kindness. God is tender in his kindness toward us. His mercies are there mentioned again. He satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I love this whole Psalm 103. I think this would be a great song to read for Thanksgiving Day. Just read it at the Thanksgiving table. Wonderful, reminding ourselves of the character of God. God is long-suffering, Exodus 34, verse 6. I think we started out with that passage. Notice his goodness is manifested in his long-suffering. God's delay of judgment. God's delay of judgment. You know, many people have the character of God that God's right there to zap him the first thing you do wrong. And God, nope, he waits. He delays judgment. Even though we deserve it, he delays it. He wants us to turn to him. Going back to that passage, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God's goodness. God's goodness. And so we should turn to him instead of going our own rebellious way and thank him for being long-suffering, patient. Now, what about the New Testament? The New Testament describes the goodness of God in many ways. We think about our good shepherd in John 10:10, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:10. We know who the thief is. The thief is Satan. What's his agenda for your life? What's Satan's agenda? Steal, rob you of years, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. He'll do anything possible to do that. But you know what? Jesus is a good shepherd. He came to give life, not take it. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and not only that, that more abundant. Isn't that wonderful that not only we have eternal life, but we can live the abundant life. The abundant life. So the good shepherd is the one, though, who lays his life down for the sheep. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. He's good because God is good. Jesus Christ is God's son. He reflects the character of God. Therefore, he gives his life for the sheep. The hireling doesn't. They see the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. But you know what? Jesus Christ lays down his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what he did for us. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. When the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us through the washing of regeneration. That's not water baptism there. That's meaning that this is what occurs when you believe. When you're born, word regeneration means to be born again. It's the new birth. Our sins are cleansed at the new birth. We're given the Holy Spirit. And it's not by our goodness that we are saved. It's because of the kindness and love of God our Savior. And so the good shepherd gives his life. He died in our place. He took our sin debt upon his body. The Father punished the Son for our sins, as in Isaiah 53. And so all who believe in him, all who trust in that work alone, plus nothing, can have everlasting life. Wonderful when you think about what he's done for us. Notice here, his kindness and love, he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, that's undemerited favor. Justified means to declare righteous. That occurs when we believe. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have a certain confidence of everlasting life. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That expresses God's goodness. And then notice James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is where? From above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow turning. You know, many times we think, I'm a self-made man. With these hands, I earn my living. I sweat hard for this. I did that. I brought good gifts to my children. I did that. God gave you the life. God gave you the power. God gave you the strength. He gave you your job. God gave you the freedom. God gave you all those things. So ultimately, if it's good, it comes from God. Yes, other people can be good to us, but ultimately we have to see that every good gift, its ultimate source is God. God is good. And we saw at the beginning of creation, he formed his creatures good. We have several hymns that we sing about the goodness of God. But here, though, God is the source of all good. Now notice Matthew 7:11. Matthew 7:11. Remember what Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. You know, some of the worst fathers give Christmas presents. they can give good gifts. If that's so, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We have a Heavenly Father who seeks our best, who loves us, who cares about us. He's wanting to give us what is beneficial. Again, we need to define what good is. Not what we think is good necessarily, but what is beneficial ultimately for us. He's ready to dispense those things. Many times we have not because we don't ask. We need to seek him and trust him. Now, because God is good, we should have an attitude of confidence in God. Trust in him. Psalm 34. Now, this is a tremendous song. I love this. And he begins here, I will bless the Lord at all times. See, not simply the good times, what we think, or the bad times, but at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Knows whatever you're afraid of, he can deliver you from. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Not some of them. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, delivers them. Now look at this, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, to try to describe the goodness of God to someone who's not born again is very difficult. It's like trying to eat something, you eat something at your favorite restaurant, and you're trying to describe to someone how it tastes, and they just can't quite understand how good it is. Or maybe your favorite dessert on Thanksgiving. This is so good, taste it. You know, I would say this to those who are not saved. God is good, taste him, try him. Try him. Challenge him. See that he's not good. You need a relationship with him to understand his goodness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We see God's goodness ultimately when we walk by faith. When we're walking by faith, we can understand and appreciate his goodness. But we got to taste. We're not willing to taste something. Well, you don't know how good it is. Have you ever told someone, you know how good that is. You haven't tasted it. Well, I don't, da, 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 da. I've done that. Well, there's certain things I say, well, I don't like, but just try it. Okay, I'm going to believe you. Think about that. I'm going to believe you. You said it's good. I don't think it is. I'm going to taste it and see for myself. Many times you're surprised. Wow, that is good. You are right. And ultimately, God is right. Try me. Taste me. Experience me. And you know what? When we place confidence in him, we can see his goodness manifested. Verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, notice, a relationship with the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Notice, who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from seeking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We are to reflect goodness by doing good to others. God is good to everyone, by the way. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 14, verse 17. Even those not deserving of goodness. Acts 14:17. He is good to all his creation. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, giving us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our heart with food and gladness. You know, this is to the saved and lost. God provides food for all. He takes care of people, and his goodness is expressed that way. We call that logistical grace. Matthew 5:45. No, I always think about this during a storm sometimes. He sends the rain on the just and unjust alike. You know, the rain rains on the atheist farmer, his field, as well as a God-fearing Christian's field, who's a farmer. His rain, right? God sends rain. God's still good to those who reject him. Now, ultimately, they want to experience the ultimate goodness of God in heaven. They need to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to experience God's goodness in their life as a born-again believer, God's extra goodness, I would call it. Then they need a relationship with him. But God does provide good to his creation, his creatures. God is good to all his creatures, including the animal creation, Psalm 104, verse 28. Notice what you give them, they gather in. Now, if you look at the talk about the animals, great and wide, and the sea and so forth, you look at the context here. He speaks of animals that God provides for. God provides food for them. Remember what Jesus said about the birds? God takes care of the birds of the field. You know, I'm seeing birds in winter and snow on the ground. You're still eating. Amazing. And God provides for them. And so what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand and they are filled with good. Notice, God opens his hand. God takes care of his creatures. He's good to all his creatures. God is good to the nation of Israel, by the way. God is good to the nation of Israel. You can reference Joshua 21:45 and then Jeremiah 32. Let's take a look at Jeremiah 32:39. He talks about the new covenant here that he will make with the nation of Israel in the future. He will put his fear in their hearts so they will not depart from him. He will rejoice over them to do them good. He will plant them in their land. He says, just as I brought all this calamity on this people, so I'll bring on them all the good that I promised them. Israel still has a future. God will regenerate them when they look to their Messiah in faith. God will restore them back to their land. God will do good for us all our lives. This is very familiar. We normally don't think about this song enough. Well, I think about, at a funeral, let's quote Psalm 23. But what about this? Let's not talk about simply where we're going after we die. What about now? Psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Let's stop right there. Not read the rest of it. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness is manifest to us every single day. Problem is, we're not focused on it. See, that's where faith comes. His goodness and his mercy, remember his mercies are what? New every morning, right? So goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely, he's confident of this. Because God's still on his throne, isn't he? God hasn't died. He's good. He's still good. And then on top of that, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not bad, isn't it? That's a win-win situation. And when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. He's good to us all our lives. God is good in not remembering our sins. Even though family members remember it. I remember when you were a 12-year-old. I'll tell you a funny story here about one lady in our church. Growing up, she's now with the Lord, but notice this verse 7, do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Well, one of the sins of my youth, I was speeding down the highway and I passed the church treasurer. As a teenager, my father was director of prayer meeting, and she came to me the next Sunday. Wow, I didn't know a past. Her name was Bertha, but past Bertha, going like 90 miles an hour, testing out my dad's car while he wasn't around. And she caught me. I was embarrassed. But I say, people might remember what we've done, But you know what? God can put it behind his back. God can throw it to the sea as forgetfulness. God doesn't hold us against us. When God forgives us, it's forgiven and gone forever. Isn't that wonderful? And so don't remember the sins of my youth. Why? Because your mercy and goodness, for your mercy and goodness sake. God's goodness extends not to only to our physical well-being. We think about the physical things, but our spiritual well-being. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Remember, we tied in the good pleasure of, you know, God's purpose for us, God's plan for us. God desires us to live for him. God is ready to forgive our sins in Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. You are ready to forgive. Notice, you are good and ready to forgive. So actually, this verse would go before the other one. God wants to forgive, and when we, as a believer, own up to our sins, he forgives us. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Notice that. He's abundant in mercy. We need to turn to him for forgiveness. He's ready to forgive when we acknowledge that. God gives certain goodness, especially for his own people. Now, we explained how God is good to all of creation, certainly. But you know what? God especially is good for those who follow him. God is especially good for his own people. Psalm 31, verse 19. So, notice here, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up. Notice, like, almost like God has stored it up in heaven, ready to dispense it. He's laid it up for those who, what? Fear you. See that? Which you have prepared for those who trusted you. In the presence of the sons of men. Now, God is ready to give even more of his goodness to his own children. Think about that. Now, it's interesting that the Bible commands us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians 6:10. That as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. You know, people that are not saved, but born again, we are to be kind, we are to be generous, we are to look after certain needs, but there's a special focus upon the family of God, fellow believers, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It's the same way with God. God does good to all. God, rain falls on the just and unjust alike. The atheist farmer, he receives God's rain as an expression of God's goodness. The Christian's farmer, he receives God's goodness through rain. But you know what? God is especially wanting to dispense good things for believers who trust him, for believers who serve him, for believers who fear him, for believers who follow after him. God has his goodness on store. He's ready to dispense it for believers. He gives special blessing. Think about your family. You know, you may give gifts to, you know, other people other than your own family, but your focus mainly is on your family. You certainly don't want to let them miss out on your goodness. And so, same way with God. Psalm chapter 34, verse 10. Psalm 34, verse 10. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord... Notice that those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from who? Those who walk uprightly. Those who walk uprightly. So God is ready to dispense his goodness even further for believers who walk in fellowship with him. Now, because God is good, we should do good to others. Because the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, One of the fruits we call fruit, I know it's singular there, but one of the fruits mentioned here is the fruit of goodness. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. We should be good to others. We should reflect God's goodness to us by being generous to others, being kind to others, being merciful to others as an expression of goodness, being loving to others. We should reflect His goodness to others. They should see the character of God in us. People should notice the goodness of God through us. Let me close here with a quote. I thought this was excellent. This is by Charles Swindoll and Roy Zuck in their Understanding Christian Theology. He said this: not a day should pass without God's people pausing to acknowledge that the Lord is good and that they are recipients of His good gifts. We have so much of God's goodness for which to be thankful. Our lives, our salvation, our food and shelter, our family and friends, our church, our opportunities for ministry. Sometimes a person who has just received a blessing will say, "Isn't God good?" But we should remember that God is good even when we don't experience His benefits. In other words, God doesn't change. He is still good when my car doesn't start, when my roof leaks, and when a loved one dies of cancer. We can demonstrate the depth and genuineness of our faith when we affirm God's goodness even in the midst of difficult times. When Job lost everything, he still blessed God, acknowledging that His intrinsic goodness transcends human experience. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness, which shows forth in so many ways. First of all, in sending the Good Shepherd to die for our sins, undeserving sinners such as us, to pay the penalty for our sins and give us eternal life by faith alone in Christ alone. We are so grateful. We're thankful for our food, as we will experience tomorrow, all the many bounties of blessings You provided for us. We are thankful for our family. We are thankful for our friends. We are thankful for our church family. I'm so thankful, Father, for our church family. We are thankful, Lord, for You, who You are and what You continue to do each and every day. Help our attention not to focus upon the evil of the world and all the negative things, but on Your goodness, remembering what You provide each and every day. It's in Your name we give You all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen.